Going to be in the book of Matthew. We're going to go to chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Have you ever stopped and think about, I do this a lot when I'm in the Gospels. Have you ever stopped to think about what it would have been like to be one of Jesus's 12 disciples? You ever thought about that? What they would have seen and what they would have experienced. Can you imagine being on the planet walking with Jesus Christ and what that would have been like? Have you ever thought about that? I hope that that's something that you've thought about. The disciples saw a lot of amazing things. Jesus was full of surprises in so many ways, right? And tonight we're going to dive into a passage of Scripture that, of course, you probably won't be surprised that we're in, because tonight we're celebrating the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. We're remembering this memorial that that takes us to where Jesus is. And in this particular text, you're going to see, and it may seem very, very familiar, but so much of the Bible is not about learning the first time. Like, it's not like you read a passage of Scripture, learn it, and then move on never to consider it again. Some passages of Scripture are for remembering and rehearsing and then applying at a particular time and at a particular season. This week is a week that gets set aside, really a day that gets set aside for Thanksgiving. I think it's a great tradition that we have in our culture. And tonight, as we remember the Lord's table and as we walk through this passage, we have the opportunity to remember, and hopefully in remembering, be grateful for what God's done to us. And so we're going to observe the Lord's table. It's something we're commanded to do. There's no passage of Scripture that tells us how often we're supposed to do it. It just says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so, ladies, we're trying to be nice to you to set aside Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving, to do that. We just give you guys a little extra time. But it's just a beautiful thing that we try to do, and the way that we remember the Lord. You can rightly observe the Lord's Supper by observing and responding to five concepts that we're going to see about this first Passover meal. Really, it's the first Lord's Supper. It's not the first Passover meal. But it was a Passover meal. That's something that they did. But there's five concepts that I see here that really do relate to what we're trying to do. And so we can do that. The first thing I want to show you in this text is this concept of preparation. Now look at verse 17 in Matthew chapter 26. Here's what it says. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? You see that the disciples assumed that Jesus would observe this Passover meal. You may want to write this down. Jesus was Jewish, right? So he did things that were commanded in the Old Testament to do, and one of the things that they were told to do is to observe this Passover. It was a memorial meal remembering how God had brought them out of Egypt by the shedding of the blood of a lamb and then roasting it and eating that and putting the blood on the doorpost. Who remembers the story, right? And it was the last of the plagues. It was the worst of the plagues. The Passover, the angel would come and he would look at the blood on the door, and on the doors where there was the blood that he would pass over, but the doors where there was no blood, the firstborn of that house would have been killed. And the children of Israel ate this meal. They ate it with their sandals on. They ate it with their travel gear on, ready to leave. And they were anticipating that God would let them go and that they would be able to get out of Egypt. And that was what the Jews remembered. But we know that Jesus took that Passover meal that was a look back at what had happened with the children of Israel, and he did something to make it to help us to look forward. And we do the same thing. We look back at what Jesus did and we look forward to his soon return. We're going to see that in this particular text. So the disciples, also Jewish, write that down. They came to Jesus and they said, hey, it's about that time. It's time to prepare a meal. It's the time of year that we set aside a meal to remember. That sounds kind of similar to what we're doing this week, isn't it, right? What's Thanksgiving, but also saying, God, I remember what you've done for me. And we set aside, it's not the same thing, but it's similar. And that's what they're doing. Verse 18, and he said, this is Jesus. But notice the verse 17, before I get to verse 18, where wilt thou that we prepare? There is, see that word prepare? To eat a Passover. And he said, verse 18, go into such a city and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Here's just a couple things about preparation that we see. And I understand this is a narrative. It's just telling you what happened. But there are some things that we see here that are, I think, are important. One, we see a preparation of a place, right? You guys see that? Hey, where are we going to go to remember this meal? We see obedience. God tells the disciples to go and to do this or that, to go find such a man and say, we need this. And then he says, literally, my time is at hand, meaning it's time for me to do what I came here to do. That, more on that in a second. And he says, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And then that's basically the instruction he gives them. The disciples, I love this. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, right? Who thinks obedience is a good thing, right? They just did what he said, and they made ready the Passover. There's a preparation that went into them observing this remembrance meal. And I think that we ought to be people who are prepared. As we do this, part of the reason we do a sermon before we observe this meal is because the Bible tells us to be ready to do this meal, that we don't just take this unworthily. We do this with great preparation. In fact, in the New Testament, it says later in the epistles that if you take this meal, make sure you examine yourself before you eat of that bread and drink of that cup. There's a way to take this unworthily, and so you don't want to do that. You want to be right with the Lord. Isn't it cool to be right with the Lord? It's so good that, like, the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We get right with the Lord by being saved. We get right with the Lord by doing it in the proper order, being baptized. And after we're saved and baptized, as we're growing in the Lord, this is another area that we are obedient in. We prepare ourselves and we observe this Lord's table. So you see preparation. We also see number two, betrayal. Look at verse 20. Here's what it says. And when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily. How many of you guys have ever seen that word verily before? That word verily is the Greek word amen. It's where we get the word what? Amen. Amen, right. Yeah, amen. It means so be it. It means true. It means that's true. And he said, and essentially he's saying, this is very true. I'm telling you a truth. Man, this is a really tough truth, isn't it? That one of you shall betray me. One of you shall betray me. Look at the right response they had in verse 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful. Now, why do you think they'd be sorrowful? Well, obviously they're sorrowful because, number one, they don't want to be the one to betray him, right? But also, the disciples, as they followed Jesus, had built a relationship with each other. I believe that they loved each other. In fact, that's what Jesus tells them to do. It says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have love one for another. I believe that these guys, the idea that any one of the ones that they loved would have been betraying Jesus, that would have brought them sorrow, even if they knew that they weren't the ones doing it. But they even had that question. And I want you to see a great question that happens after Jesus reveals one of them is going to betray them. They said, what is it? Lord, is it I? Is it me? I think that's a good question. I don't want to betray the Lord. I don't want to betray the Lord with my life, with what I do, with how I think. And so there's this examination that they have of themselves. Great question here. Lord, is it I? Verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in this dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him. So he literally has, and this was typical in this meal, he would take a piece of bread and they would dip it. He says, if I dip it this with me and I give it to him, that's the person that's betraying me. And that's essentially how he's going to signify what's about to happen. He says in verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. I won't go into great detail, but Son of Man, that is a reference to an Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. He's calling himself the Messiah. And he says he's going as it is written of him, meaning in the Old Testament, it's written what's going to happen to him, that he's going to go and die on the cross and again rise from the dead. But he says here, verse 24, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Not only do you have this great question, Lord, is it I? But now you have a great warning. Woe unto that man whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, verse 25, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Can you imagine being Judas and having done this? Man, what an incredibly difficult moment. You see betrayal here, and I think that there is the question that's being asked honestly, transparently, and then there's the answer that's being asked dishonestly. You have Judas who's asking, is it I? And it's almost like he's going along with all the other people. Does Judas know it's him? Yes. He does. What does this have to do with us? Like, I don't want to, we're going to see here in a couple minutes, denial. I don't want to deny or betray the Lord. And yet I can do that with my life. I can do that with how I live and how I honor him, how I dishonor him and don't remember him. And so tonight, if there's something in your life in which you are betraying the Lord, you need to repent of that before you take the table, right? If you're unwilling to deal with that, then you need to not take the elements here. If you're like, I'm sinning, I don't care, just give me the cracker. I'm going to try to look good in front of everybody by participating, but my heart's not willing to be changed, then you're kind of in the same spot as Judas here. That's not good. Not the exact same spot. It's not like you can lose your salvation, but it's a bad thing. You also see number three, memorial, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. Now that part they had done before, right? That part in the meal, in the Passover meal, somebody breaking bread and passing that around, that part was not new. That was something that had been done ever since the time of the Exodus. What's new is what Jesus says here. He says, he breaks the bread and he says, take, eat. And then he says, this is my body. This meal wasn't just something that was pointing to something that happened in the past. It was something at this point that was going to happen in the very near future. Jesus' body would be broken for them, would have been pierced for them. And so it says in verse 27, not only was that part of the memorial, but he says there's a cup. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Man, this is exactly what they were hoping for and praying for and waiting for. The Jews, the disciples, they had seen Jesus do some amazing things. They believed that he was the Messiah. What they knew about the Messiah is that he was going to be a king reigning on a throne, right? And so for him to say, I'm not going to drink this until we drink it again when the kingdom has come, and I'm going to drink it with you, do you think that their hearts were stirred? Does it stir your heart? Like to think about one day we're going to be with Jesus again, and he's going to rule and reign, and everything's going to be made right. What an incredible thing. It all happens because there was a body that we remember and a blood that was shed. That's why it can happen. It's a blood of a new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's when we take this, and I say it, I've said it to you before, I'm sure I'll say it again. This is a way for us to remember. That's the point of it. It's very elemental, isn't it? We remember through taking it in, receiving it. It doesn't become the actual body and blood of the Lord. Jesus only had to die one time. He doesn't have to die over and over. These are just crackers and juice, okay? They're unleavened. That's what they are. They don't become anything else. But they help us to remember what Jesus did for us. We see something less than betrayal, but it's still there. It's denial. Look at verse 30. It says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. How many of them? All. Wow. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. Go down to verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You know what Peter's saying? It's kind of not a good thing, obviously, that he says, Jesus, you're wrong. I'm not going to do that. Right? Kind of bold. Who thinks that's bold? Kind of bold. I'll never do it. My mom used to say this to me all the time. She'd quote the scripture, and I would take it very well. No, I wouldn't. Not at all. I'd be very upset about it. My mom used to say to me all the time, to him that thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. Right? And yeah, mom, okay. And then I'd mess up. Here Peter is thinking, I'm never going to do that. How many of you have ever had a situation where you did something you know you shouldn't have done, and you thought afterwards, I thought I'd never do that. I thought I'd never mess up that way. Aren't you glad there's forgiveness even after those moments? I'm so glad that there's forgiveness in that. But I think that there's a real issue when we think that we're above doing something like denying the Lord. Jesus said unto him, verse 34, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said, who? All the disciples. If you think that Peter was the bold one, yeah, he may have been the first to say it, but I would never deny thee. And yet, what Jesus said is exactly what happened. I think it's really important, and I think this is part of the memorial meal, I think this is why this is written in here, that we understand our own frailty and our own sinfulness and our own capacity to sin. We need Jesus every day. We need him every moment. And if we think, oh, there's no way I'd ever do that, that's the first thought on a road to doing that thing, right? If you're thinking ever, I would never do that, wow, that's a moment that needs some repentance. We can deny the Lord. We can do that. That leads us to this fifth, and this thing I think is so important and so incredible. And I want to point it out to you. We see fifth, forgiveness. I'm glad that after betrayal and after denial, the reason for the memorial, the reason for the preparation makes itself evident, and that's forgiveness. I love that in the middle of them saying, did you notice I skipped a verse? Let's go back and read it again. When they had sung a hymn, verse 30, They went out to the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. You know what he's saying? We're going to, even when you messed up, even though I know you're going to mess up, we're going to be restored. Even though I'm going to have my body broken and my blood shed for you, I'm going to rise again. That's amazing, right? And I'm going to see you again. I'm going to see you in Galilee. And then there's a part that I hope you didn't miss. Again, I think that's talking about forgiveness. You're going to be forgiven. There's going to be restoration because of what happens. But go verse 27, and this is so important. Verse 27, and he took the cup. What's the next three words? And gave thanks. He took the cup, and he's about to say, this is my blood that's shed for the remission of sins. And before he says that, he gives thanks. Jesus gave thanks to God for the thing that represented the blood that he would shed on the cross for us. Jesus gave thanks for the shed blood that he was going to give on the cross. If he was thankful for it, if Jesus Christ gave thanks for the representation of his blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins, we should give thanks for the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of not just my sin, but for the sin of all who, of the whole world, the sin of all who, he became a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. There is forgiveness because of the body that was given, the blood that was shed, so that you and I could be forgiven of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And tonight, if we're not thankful for anything, we ought to be thankful for that, that Jesus shed his blood for us. Preparation. Later, the New Testament gives us how we prepare. We examine ourselves. That's for Christians. For people who are here that don't know Christ as Savior, this won't get you saved. This doesn't save you. Baptism waters don't save you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. If you put your faith and trust in him, turn from your sin to Christ by faith, then you're saved. The next step of obedience is baptism. And after that, you take the Lord's Supper. Not that that's the very next thing you do, but that's the proper order. So if you're here tonight and you've never received the gift of salvation, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you need to do that tonight. There's an acknowledgement of your own sin, that you're a sinner, that your sin separates you from God, but that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus. He became flesh, he became man, and lived a perfect life, kept the law you could not keep, and died the death that you deserve to die. Took on the wrath of God for your sin and mine. And he said that if you would confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and he did raise from the dead, you'd be saved. Tonight, you can know for sure that heaven's your home by getting the forgiveness that's talked about here provided to us by Jesus. If you're here tonight, there's something between you and God, you need to get it right. If you're here tonight and this has kind of come like, oh, it's the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. This is what we always do, just another church service. This is just ho-hum routine. I think it's probably good for you to pause and to stop and to say, I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve what's been given to me. I'm not going to heaven because of anything I had to offer God. I'm going to heaven because Jesus put his son to death for me. And I should be thankful for that. I should be thankful for that. We're going to have a pianist come now and play.